And look at all the assists as well, moving it beautifully. Baines, yes! Around and down it goes, Aaron Baines.
That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, May 1.
Wow, where's the year going, bro? We're just going by so quick.
That's right, man. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm just hanging out here in Larryama Studios, New York City, New York. And this is NBA Strayer, making sure you know who's doing what, why they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. In the NBA in the playoffs today, just while repping Strayer a little bit. It's what we do. And all right, man, so today's show wraps the amazingly fun Celtics-Sixers game from last night. Also has playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takehouse, get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, we've got the Australian Player Watch to check in on what the Australians got up to. We also preview tonight's games. We've got Caps at Ravs game one, our Pelicans Warriors game two. We uncover and uncork a new Shane Heal shoot your shot random bloke going ham of the week. And we finish with a classic, a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager. Love it. Let's get to it. It's NBA Strayer. It's episode 109. Let's go. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better, because we are here, NBA Strayer. It's a Tuesday. There's so much stuff going on, so we start every day with the daily whip around. So let's get to the game last night in Boston. An absolute hurler of a game for a bit there. And it was still a bit of a tussle. It was pretty fun. Am I right? Yeah, I was right. So, Celtics end up winning in Boston 117-101, taking game one of their second round series, the Eastern Conference semis. This was a crazy game. Like, Philly, bunch of days off. Celtics bounce back straight after game seven at home against the Bucks. And Philly hit the brick wall of the Boston Celtics, even without Jaylen Brown, and go down by 16. This is crazy. It was a lot to do with the Celtics defense, but also the fact that they fucking scored 117 points. The Celtics without Jaylen Brown. That's insane. So for Philly, no one hit shots. The Celtics stuck close and gave Simmons basically a little bit more room to work with on the perimeter, but not enough that he'd kill them and basically walled off the paint from the fella. And then he had to operate in the half court a lot more. And look, as soon as that happened, a lot of his effectiveness is kind of negated, because if he's driving and passing out to shooters who are missing, yeah, the flip side is that suddenly Big Simo has turned into a non-shooting threat that's kind of cutting and moving off the ball, and other dudes aren't quite good enough to get the ball back to him. And the Sixers only really started trying to post him up later in the game once they realized how it was all going, and man, you could just tell straight off the bat, though, that the Celtics were a much different beast from the Heat. And Justin Anderson, Bellinelli, Ilyasova all looked really slow, and it was tough. And then Philly just had no answer for Jason Tatum or Terry Rozier. So let's do it, Philly. So look, what happened? I mean, JJ Redick was kept quiet by the Boston Celtics perimeter defenders like Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and Tatum, and like their switches and like the way that they were actually like taking it off like the perimeter shooters for Philly was really, really impressive by the Celtics. Redick still had 20 points on 7 of 13 shooting, but really didn't have anywhere near the impact of previous games. Joel Embiid had a fucking corker of a game. 31 points, 12 of 21, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal for Joel. Pretty bloody good. Big Simo over there as well. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. And the tough part was Big Simo also had 7 turnovers. This is what happened. The Celtics forced the ball out of his hand, and like shit got a bit wild. They had fuck all in the way of fast break points, and when that happens, Philly, shit just bogs down a little bit, and if they're not hitting shots, it's all over. And that's basically what happened. Dario, the homie, He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 of 11 from the field. Bellinelli and Ilyasova. Hello, is Ersan Ilyasova. Scored literally the only points off the Sixers bench. They had 11 and 6 each. And that was it. Fucking Robert Covington may as well have been a sheet of fucking leftover plywood, or my mate Scott from high school who still works at the Safeway Deli out there. He went 0 of 6 from the field and 0 of 4 from 3. Ends up with 3 points on 3 made free throws. And yeah, that's not going to get it done there, Covington. That was also pretty indicative of the entire team though, right? Like Justin Anderson, Amir Johnson, Rashawn Holmes, TJ McConnell, Bayless. They all went 0 for 3 total. Fucking brutal, mate. The Sixers are really just going to struggle offensively when Redick, Covington, Saric, Ilyasova, Bellinelli shoot 3 of 18 from 3. Fucking hell. So they went, as a team, 5 of 26 total. Brutal right there. And as we saw in the Heat series, they can bounce back quickly from those nights, but we also saw them win a game in Miami, shooting badly and turning it over to the Celtics. A little bit better than the Heat. So let's get to the Celtics. The Sixers shooting 5 of 26 from 3. The Celtics, meanwhile, went 17 of 35. Fucking hell, it's basically 49%, and they're led by Scary Terry Rose. Terry Rose out there just crushing it in the absence of Jaylen Brown and obviously Kyrie Irving and Gordo Hayward. 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 of 9 from 3. Holy shit, 11 of 18 total he shoots. Man, hashtag trade Kyrie. What do you reckon? Terry Rose, I fucking love him. We'll talk about him a little bit more later. Jason Tatum, he had 28 points. The rookie, 8 of 16 from the field, only 1 of 5 from 3, but still goes to the fucking free throw line a bunch, goes 11 of 12 from there, adds 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and Big Al Horford, 26 points, 10 of 12 from the floor. Holy shit, hits 2 of 3 from 3 when Joel Embiid's like, oh, fuck, I gotta guard this guy out here. He also had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, Big Al, not bloody bad. The Boston bench did just enough. Marcus Morris had 11 points. 5 for Shane Larkin. Marcus Smart there. He had a very Marcus Smart game. He went 3 of 12 from the field. He had 9 points. Also had 9 assists, played terrifying defense, and got into it at different times with a bunch of the different Sixers players. Also hurt his thumb again on a weird kick by Embiid at the end of the first half. This was very, very weird. All of it was very weird. But come on, man, when the Celtics score 117, Jesus, you know you're in trouble. They do have, like, you know, the best defense in the NBA. So if you let them score 119, you're not going to win very often. And when Terry Rose, Jason Tatum, and Horford have a, combined an absolutely ridiculous amount. That is 83 points between the three of them? Holy shit, 29 for Terry Rose, 28 for Tatum, and 26 for Horford. That is ridiculous, isn't it? So, look, this was a crazy-ass game last night. A team of young dudes, roleplayers, and Al Horford, like, just whooped the Sixers. Pretty goddamn good. Brad Stevens, good coach. This was fun as hell. It was great to see Bill Russell there, looking all old and shit. And you're like, ah, that's fucking nice. And the cool thing was, the Sixers and Philly, like, they've played the most amount of times in the playoffs in the history of the NBA. That's pretty sick. So, that was good. Fun-ass game one. I love, like, the sense of history and everything that's behind all this sort of stuff. So, man, here's hoping this goes 7. That's all I want. So obviously, let's get on to the NBA Strayer approved performance of the night.
That's a knife.
Scary Terry Rose. Terry Rozier, not only did he rock up to a game in a Drew Bledsoe jersey, he also kicked the shit out of the Sixers. I love his balls, man. Like, he's not afraid of anyone or anything. On his way to 29 points, 11 of 18 shooting, as mentioned, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 of 9 from 3. And look, man, fucking terrorized the Sixers fucking defenders. They're just like, oh, wait, fuck, damn it. God damn it, he's doing it again. Guys, Terry Rose is doing it again. And you're like, yeah, maybe you should get a fucking body up on him. And the thing is, Terry Rose was so fucking good last night, it barely mattered. That was awesome. That was a hell of a knife performance. Dude, he could have gotten the fucking That's not a knife. That's a knife. Simply for wearing the Drew Bledsoe jersey to the game and then again on the podium after the game. That was fucking awesome. As mentioned on Twitter, you know that Eric Bledsoe is sitting in a hair salon somewhere just fucking fuming about all this. He's like in Milwaukee getting his hair done. He's like, fuck that guy. Nice one. So how about old mate, no mates today? Who was old mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's old mates, no mates today? Well, it's got to be Mello back in Oklahoma City, doesn't it? Ah, shit, because that also leads into our other segment. Who was the bitch ass of the night? That's right. Who was the bitch ass of the night and old mate, no mates? It's the same person. It's Carmelo Anthony. Mello, is it me you're looking for? Are you looking for your offense? Man, it's fucking not to be found in Mello, huh? He's all like on his exit fucking interviews. He's like, yeah, look, hey, these motherfuckers, they had no strategy for me. For me, man, they had no strategy and we had to work around my fucking game. Mello, mate, you can't hit fucking shots. Ain't no one got a fucking strategy for that, you dickhead. How's this as well? Great stat. Carmelo Anthony was last in distance run per game for the entire 2017-18 season, averaging 2 miles a game. That's literally last of anyone who played played the requisite minutes and 41 games total. Mello, the last. So I don't know. They don't have strategy for lazy fat pricks who are 33 and suddenly can't play basketball. Yes, that's their fault, Mello. You are old mate, no mates, and the bitch ass of the night. On you, mate. How about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Now, this is going to be Ben Simmons, 18-7-6. He was better than Lonzo Ball, but hey, how about we throw a bit of a wrinkle in this one and say, who was better than Markelle Fultz last night? And that would be one half of the Double J's, Jason Tatum. 28 points. Look, just so composed, and he was out there crushing it. 28 points. That was the fifth highest single scoring playoff game by a Celtics rookie ever, behind Tommy Hansen and Larry Bird. Holy shit. The thing is, obviously, Markelle Fultz had a DNP CD. That's right, the number one pick in the NBA draft last year, who was traded to the Philadelphia 76ers for the number three pick, who was Jason Tatum. This is deliciously ironic at this point, isn't it? Jason Tatum, 28 points, Fultz, stuck on the bench. Danny Ainge, you're a fucking genius. Anyway, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, both rookies, and both better than Lonzo Ball. All right, let's get to Yeah Nahs right after, let's say, these words.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dally Vidova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya time for Yeah Nah. It's Yeah Nah. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one is Zach Lowe Wright on ESPN yesterday. Do Rusty and OKC have to change the way they play? Yeah, fuck yes, they've got it. Come on, mate. This was tough. I love Rusty. Y'all know this. I love him a lot. I fucking love the way he attacks. I love the way he plays. He just, all he wants to do is fucking win. And I'm okay with him taking a fuck ton of shots, but come on, Rusty, you've got to be cognizant enough to not take bad ones that the defense wants you to take, right? And one point that Zach Lowe made that really stood out was how Harden's bad shots usually come, or at least contested bad shots, are worth three, whereas Rusty is taking five long contested twos a game. Replace those with like either contested drives or threes in a spread pick and roll offense, and man, you are upping both Rusty and OKC's effectiveness. So, it's about right. I feel like they're just, Billy Donovan really just needs to go, look, Russell, you and I are going to spend like all fucking summer together. We're going to hang out. We're going to fix this shit. We're going to figure out what works for you, what works for the team. We're going to do it. We're going to get Paul involved. We're going to re-sign this motherfucker. Mello over there, this dipshit doesn't think like we have strategy for him, but you know, meanwhile, he's eating fucking pies. So I don't know. Fuck that guy, right? Yeah, come on. Let's do this. I want to see Rusty be effective. I want OKC to be out there, kick some ass. It'd be fun. I mean, I'm a Sonics fan and fuck the Thunder, but Jesus, I love Rusty. All right, number two was game one of Celtic Sixers, indicative of the rest of the series. Yeah, nah. So the thing that we didn't really talk about at the top was you get the feeling that the Sixers played really pretty fucking bad in this game, whereas the Celtics played basically the best they could have hoped for without Jaylen Brown. You know, so I can't imagine that it's going to go that way every fucking time where the Sixers hit will miss every goddamn three that they take. And the Celtics have 83 points out of Horford, Tatum, and Rose. So I can't think it's that indicative. I think it's instrumental in like the way we approach the rest of the series and go, oh yeah, Brad Stevens is going to the fucking most out of all these guys. And the Sixers really need to figure out how to spring Simmons, spring their shooters, and really get the offense flowing. So I think it's instrumental. Pretty interesting too. Number three, is Brad Stevens the best coach in the NBA right now? Yeah, yeah. I mean, come the fuck on, man. He started Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Bangers Baines, and won a game one in the second round of the playoffs against a team that's lost once since like fucking February. Yeah, that's pretty fucking good. Like, Steve Kerr's good. More power to him. But at the same time, when you've got Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, the little nerd when he's not hurt, that's pretty easy. Come on, man. Be honest. Number four, extra bonus. Yeah, Nas, was the Celtics fans not a rookie trolling of Ben Simmons smart and warranted? Yeah, Ah, yeah, it was. As much as I love Big Simo, all's fair in love and war in basketball. And giving the opposition shit about something that could get under their skin is always fair game, unless it's their family or something. But the problem was, it didn't really seem to faze the big fella. Still, good trolling, even if it's weird that the Celtics fans seem to be like on the side of Donovan fucking Mitchell. Like, because Jason Tatum clearly had no chance of winning Rookie of the Year, and they're all, like, the Celtics fans are jumping on that purely to get under Big Simo's skin, and Big Simo's like, nah, what? Fuck off. I'm good. Also, I'm Rookie of the Year. The thing is, this is such a weird, dumb argument because it's not going to matter like next year. You know? It's something to talk about right now, but literally this will be completely forgotten in like 6 months' time. Extra bonus. Yeah, nah. We'll get to it in the game previews, but can the Pelicans bounce back against the Warriors tonight? Yeah, nah. Nah, not yet. Reckon they stand a better chance at home. Game two is done already, man. I reckon. Unless AD has 50 and the coward Kevin Durant gets hurt. So let's move on to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me play. Look at me.
I want the Cavaliers to win this series, but I think the Raps might just smash the Cavs. I don't know if that's unpopular. Well, it kind of is, because I want the Cavs to win. I want LeBron to go like as far as possible, because it's way more interesting with LeBron in there, apart from like, as opposed to fucking Toronto. But I've got a feeling the Raps will smash them. It's tough, right? So let's move on to Outback Takehouse. Come on down. It's Tuesdays at Outback Takehouse. Happy hour runs from 1 till 9, and we have four times a shrimp for four times the takes. Hot takes at Outback Takehouse. Outback Takehouse today, Joel Embiid doesn't make his teammates better and therefore is an absolute flog. Nah, come on, mate. That's fucking... He makes his teammates ready. And five assists. Just not much of a fluidity to their the Sixers game last night because of the Celtics' defense. I think they'll figure that out. So how about another take? If the Celtics had Kyrie and Gordo, they'd win the NBA title this year. Oh, that's a good Outback Takehouse. Come on down to Outback Takehouse. Pretty good. All right, we'll be back right after this with Australian Player Watch because fucking oath, that's what we do.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's Australian Player Watch. We had two of the four remaining Aussies in action last night. Ben Simmons and Big Bangers Baines. And Baines had himself a game. So Big Simo, as mentioned, game one, 42 minutes. He had 18, 7, and 6. So 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. But also had more turnovers than assists. So 7 turnovers, forcing the ball out of Simmons' hand. And man, that Celtics defense is nothing to fuck with. I'll tell you that much. Holy shit. 6 of 11 from the field. Classic Simo. He did have a couple of times where he drove into the paint and would pull up for like a little shot. And you're like, I just want to see these fucking drop. Is that too much to ask? Come on, big Simo. Still not a bad game, but also not as effective as he could have been. And that's one big thing Philadelphia are going to have to figure out, how to spring big Simo and get him being effective. And for the flip side, the old bangers Baines there. How was he last night? Just out there. Both ends. Fucking crushing it. Blocking Joel Embiid. Dropping threes in his fucking face, mate. Because that's what happened. In 29 minutes, bangers scored 6 fucking points. Both of them off 3-pointers, baby! So bangers, I believe, now moves to 7 of 21 from 3 for the year. Bangers, you fucking ledge. This was awesome. 6 points, both off 3-pointers last night. He goes 2 of 4 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. So 6 points, add 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block on Embiid as well. Embiid was basically standing underneath the rim while Bangers is launching a fucking straight on 3 at one point, and then Bangers dropped 2 of them on his fucking face. This was awesome. So on your Bangers, that was a crushing blow. So the other Aussies, we've got no one in action tonight. So we've got the Jingler and Dante back on Wednesday for the Jazz Houston series. And yeah, Bangers and Big Simo going up against each other, which is fun. I love it. All right, so let's move on. What do we do on Tuesdays? Oh, it's a nice one. I love the Tuesdays because it is.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
That's right. It is time for the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham All-Star Hall of Fame of the Week. And man, do you remember this time last year when Isaiah Thomas went fucking ham on the Wizards and scored 53 points in game 2 of the second round of the playoffs? Holy shit, do you remember that? The little guy. 53 points, goes 18 to 33 from the field, 5 of 12 from 3, along with hitting 12 of 13 free throws for 53 fucking points. 12 of 13 free throws, back when he could actually still drive to the hoop and not, you know, be fucking living in fear of his hip being deplaced. Poor little fella, god damn it. This was the second ever highest Boston Celtics franchise history scoring game in the playoffs, behind John Havlicek in 1973 against the Hawks. And he had 54. That's only 1 point more on your Isaiah Thomas. It was also the 14th highest scoring playoff game all time. Craziest part of that is that Michael Jordan's got 6 of those top 14. But anyway, that was insane, right? Fucking Isaiah Thomas, 53 points. And now just think about where we're at now. Like, who's offering IT a contract next year? Like, Miami, the Clips, Minnesota, like Milwaukee, like for the mid-level maybe? Oh, man. And the dude scored 53 fucking points in a playoff game last year, like 12 months ago, mate. Fucking hell. So with that in mind, welcome to the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham All-Star Hall of Fame, the little guy, Isaiah Thomas. All right, we'll be back with the game previews for tonight and the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board right after these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
Hi there, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. What's Patty Mills got to say today? And I'll tell you, the whole social media game of the Australians in the playoffs has been a bit of a disappointment, because Patty Mills has not updated his Twitter since basically April 18. It's now May. Come on. So today we're going to make it the Thon McCur Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board, because Thon posted yesterday a picture of himself in a very, very smart purple suit with a purple tie with a big smile on his face. And he tweeted out, through the highs and lows, to God all the glory goes. Prayer hands, other prayer hands, dancing man emoji, hashtag be you. And I mean, that's fucking neat, isn't it? On your thon. Thon, 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 thon. I'm going to miss just singing that because I enjoy it. So it's time for the NBA Straya
Game previews. Game previews
for tonight, Tuesday night, May 1. We've got two games this evening. We've got Cavs at Raps, Game 1, and Pelicans Warriors, Game 2. So, Cavs, Raps. Who do you reckon's got this? Does LeBron still have the wood on the Raptors? All I know is that my gut says maybe. Ah, mate. All I know is that the poor fella's also tired as well. So tired. I just want to go home. Can I go home? That's what he was asking on the podium the other day. It was amazing. So this is going to be fascinating to see how the Raps guard the Cavs. OG Anunoby on LeBron. Maybe some Serge. Maybe some Pascal Siakam. Throw a bit of size at him. Perhaps CJ Miles off the bench. Ugh. Interesting, isn't it? It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. Kevin Love's going to be out there dealing with Serge. Pascal. And my name is Jonas Valanciunas. Whew. Yikes. Do you reckon Tristan Thompson gets the start again as well? Go that supersized lineup and see how they go up against the Raps. Fascinating. Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, LeBron. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So for the Cavs, meanwhile, they've got to like try to stop Big Booty Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan there with, George Hill? J.R. Smith? Yeah, I don't think that ends well for the Cavs, right? Holy crap. That's, how you say, not good. It's not good. Anyway, so, I don't know. This is a tricky one to pick just because LeBron was shooters. And if their rollers actually come out, their role players come out hot, they do, it'll be fucking amazing. And it'll be really fucking fascinating to see how the Raps respond in turn. Like, will they be the same old Raps? Like new Raps, same as the old Raps. Ah, man, LeBron and shooters against this Raps team. I was going to say give me the Raps in game one, but then remembered that they always lose game one. So give me the Cavs. I kind of feel it. It's going to be fucking great fun. Give me the Cavs. All right, so Pelicans at Warriors. Oh, yeah, we mentioned this earlier. So this is game two. As mentioned, game one felt like it was basically the first two games of this series. Just so complete was the Warriors going, oh, you guys think you're good? Yeah, we're not the Blazers. Sorry, pals. Pelicans need AD to get like 50 in this one and kick the shit out of Draymond. And for the coward, Kevin Durant to tweak an ankle or something, I really feel like. Key matchups for this, like Giroux and Rondo really need to figure out how to deal with the size of Clay and Iggy. This is not Dame Dollar and CJ McCollum, which are basically like the fun size versions of Clay Thompson and Iguodala. So, and the Pelicans also have to avoid having Mirotić match up with a coward, Kevin Durant, this time, because that was a straight fucking smashing last game. Look, I think the Pelicans will bounce back a little in this game and probably keep it closer for about the half as opposed to in the second quarter getting outscored by 20 like they did in game one. They'll bounce back. It'll be more competitive, but I think they still get steamrolled. Ugh, it's just tough, man. The Warriors are so good. But I feel like there's a lot of hope for the Pelicans when they get home, right? I feel like they could easily fucking get something out of this game to go home, win game three, maybe even win game four. So not all is lost, Pelicans. Not all is lost. But this is going to be great. So give me the Cavs and give me the Warriors tonight. Seems going to be fun, but what a goddamn night. It's going to be awesome. So you know what? That's it for us today on NBA Stereo. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. We're going to wrap those two games. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Plenty of stuff going up all the time. A lot of videos last night from Big Simmons and Bangers as well. Don't forget to make sure you subscribe to NBA Stereo on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast. Check us a nice rating and review while you're at it. And tell a mate, just go, oi, fuckhead. Steve-O, are you listening to NBA Stereo? Fucking do it. Go on, do it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out Houseats, their new band. They are the best band in Australia right now. The extra special new single, Stop, is awesome. Absolute perler it is. Go request that on Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to. Stop by Houseats. It's great. Thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so go check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a like, buy a tune. They're awesome. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager, and we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Horsan! G'day. It's Joe Ingles here, in from a usual front-facing weekly appointment in the NBA Straya office, taking a break from the playoffs and smashing threes and talking shit to answer your HR questions as NBA Straya's resident HR manager. Yep, that's right, I didn't go to uni in Canberra and live all around the globe just in order to play basketball. I also got my human resources degree, so I'm most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So let's get to today's question. It comes from a Mr. L. James from Akron, Ohio. Dear Joe, I'm just tired, really tired. I want to go home. Can I go home? Thanks, Mr. L. James, Ohio. Well, that's not really an advice-related question, but it does have a question at the end. Can I go home? So, I'm sorry, Mr. James, but not until you've fulfilled your legally obligated amount of office hours there. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. I mean, well, I do sometimes about HR stuff, but this is pretty straightforward. Once you've done your properly allocated shift, then you're allowed to go home. So, you are tired, I guess, so I'm not entirely sure what advice I can give here beyond eating healthy, exercising, and getting a good night's sleep before going to work. So, I guess that'll have to do today, right? Like, after all, as we say in HR, the best way to never get fired is to get a good night's sleep and be in earlier than everyone else. Then leave at 4, because you can't get fired if you're spending 3 hours of every workday without the boss there. Anyway, so there you go, Mr. James. I mean, I hope you get some sleep and you can focus your human resources and enjoy a healthy workplace environment and organizational success. So, okay, that's all we've got time for this week then, I guess. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Straya.